Good morning. People were really quiet right then. Welcome back. Yes? I mean, I guess it's only been a week now. Yeah. That was last year, right? Yeah. Oh, talk about no pressure. Best service all year? Best service so far. I can't guarantee the best sermon all year because you might have watched one online or something before today. So this will be the best sermon you get from me from now till it's done this year. Not this year, so far this year. I'm done. Did you have a good break?
Yep.
Did you have a break? Yes, no, okay. Who stayed up till midnight? I'm still tired. Okay, who celebrated Christmas 2 weeks ago? Okay, let me be the first to wish you a happy St. Patrick's Day. Okay. Say that again. Oh, no, I didn't. I had a really good last couple of weeks. I had some time to get some rest. Got to move around outside, run, walk, throw. All that good stuff. And actually, I finally had a chance to watch the Amazon Prime series, Rings of Power. Okay, so a couple people have heard of it. Great. How many have heard of it? Show of hands. All right, it's a prequel to The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. And I actually thought they did a pretty good job on it. Did you guys like it, those that watched it? Yeah, okay, some yeah, some no. That's all right. I had a chance to finally watch both season one and season two, and it was good for me. There was a scene where the stranger, and if you haven't watched it, I'm not going any spoiler anythings, but the stranger looked at his little friend Nori, the Harfoot. They were wandering around there on this bit of a trek, a journey of sorts, and they're lost in the desert. And she mentions something about something, and he turns to her, and he says this. I think I have the quote up there, yeah. He said, "Alone, it is a journey. Adventures, they must be shared." Isn't that good? Yeah, we could just stop here. Amen, amen, amen. Alone, it is a journey. Adventures, they may be shared. I've been sitting chewing on this for a week or so. And it really fits with our vision statement. So we're going to talk about that today. Let me pray. Lord God, thank you so much for this chance to gather, chance to be in-house together, whether in-house or online. Thank you that we can freely worship. I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes, our ears, our hearts to what you want us to see, hear, and sense today, even in a Sunday where we are reminding ourselves who you've called us to be. I pray that something fresh and new will come alive. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so who remembered what we did last year, sermon series? If you forgot already, it was not good, right? So we did a 52-week sermon series titled Where's Jesus? Bible in the Ear. And I figured after that long, it'd be good just to stand up and remind us of who God has called us to be and what he has called us to do. So this morning is going to be a refresher for a lot of us. For some of you, it may be the first time you hear it, but this will really give you an idea of who we are as First Church, okay? God has called us specifically to this, walking with others as we walk with Christ. And yeah, that is a picture of our little steeple outside. I thought I was pretty creative with that. Say this with me, walking with others as we walk with Christ. One more time. Walking with others as we walk with Christ. Do you see it in there? Kind of that journey, that alone aspect, and also the adventure? So the journey part is the second part, where it's as we walk with Christ. I had a pastor growing up. He was at the church for 55 years, long time. And he used to always say, God doesn't have any grandchildren. He just has children. And by that, he meant, you know, just because your parents are believers doesn't mean you're a believer. Just because my grandpa was a believer doesn't mean my mom had to choose to follow Jesus. Just because my mom follows Jesus doesn't mean I have to follow Jesus. Just because I follow Jesus doesn't mean my kids will choose to follow Jesus. God has children, not grandchildren. You don't just get inherited into the kingdom. We each have to make the choice to walk with Christ. Each one of us. The invitation Jesus gave over and over early in the Gospels was, follow me. And would he say this to crowds? Yeah. Would he say this to individuals? Yeah. I mean, he even said it to brothers. Early in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, says, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. Could the brothers have said no? Could Andrew have just said, hey, I'm going. Peter, you stay. Simon, you stay. Dad needs some help fishing. Yeah. Could Simon have said, hey, I'm going to be the one that makes all the good stories in the scripture, so Andrew, you stay with Dad, and I'll go with him. Yeah. They each had to make their own individual decision to start their journey with Christ. Same with the next two brothers in verse 19 and 20. A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat repairing their nets. He called them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. Did James and John choose to follow Jesus? Not a trick question. Yes. And it wasn't James saying, hey, John, you don't have an option in this. Come on, let's go. We're in. They both had to make that individual choice to begin to follow Jesus. And it wasn't just the one time and they were done for the rest of their life. You know, yes, when we follow Jesus, he enters our lives the way the church traditionally says it. He comes into our hearts, even though I might argue that he's been there the whole time. And he doesn't leave. But we make this like lifetime choice to follow Jesus, but then we still have to daily choose to follow Jesus. That makes sense? I was 4 years old on the steps of our trailer in Montana when I chose to follow Jesus for that first time, but I still, this morning, when I woke up, had to choose to follow Jesus today. And there's times in our lives that we may choose not to. That happened in Jesus' life as well. John chapter 6, verse 67, Jesus was talking to a bunch of crowds. He says, that's why I've said that people can't come to me unless the Father gives them to me. And at this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. And Jesus turned to the 12 and said, are you also going to leave? They had to choose individually to keep walking with Christ. We each are on a journey with Jesus. Make sense? Amen? Amen. All right, we can't stop there. This thing we call faith is not just a me and Jesus thing. Sometimes we have to wrestle with that in the culture that we live in. Faith, Christianity, being a disciple, being a follower of Jesus is not something we do alone. Remember the quote from the stranger? Alone, it's just a journey, but adventures, they must be shared. So faith, following Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus, this is a grand adventure, an adventure that must be shared. And yes, I could tell you about Hebrews 10:22 or 10:25 that says, don't forsake meeting together. And I could tell you about Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and 44, where it talks about all the disciples or all the people got together and committed themselves to the disciples' teaching and to prayer and to breaking of bread. And then two verses later, it says they were all together and they had all things in common, or they shared all things. I could point to those and say we are not meant to live our life of faith alone. But instead of pointing to those, I want to just point to Jesus. What I ultimately want to do every single time I stand and talk. In Mark chapter 3, after a night of praying, we hear Jesus call the 12 apostles. And he chose them, yes, to expand his ministry reach, because 12 can go farther than one. But I fully believe, maybe more important than that, he chose them so that there would be people around him he could do life and faith and journey with. See, Mark chapter 3, verse 14 says this, and he appointed 12, whom he also named as apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach. So that they might be with him. This is the walking with others part in our vision statement. Walking with others as we walk with Christ. You can answer this question, okay? If Jesus needed other people around him, do you? Yeah. If Jesus needed other people around him, how much more do you? Feel free to raise your hand or don't raise your hand. Listen carefully to the question, all right? Raise your hand if your faith was better than Jesus's. Okay, raise your hand if your connection with the Father is better than Jesus's. Raise your hand if you feel more capable in your faith than Jesus did. All right, said no big tent revival preacher ever. I don't see your hands. Which really does show us that we need to do this faith with other people. If Jesus needed to be with people, so do we. And this is where our journey with Jesus becomes an adventure. Because as soon as you put another person in the mix, it's fantastic all the time. Until it's not. But that's life, right? We've got to journey together. Alone, it's a journey. Adventures, they must be shared. We're walking with others as we walk with Christ. So how do we do this? This is a review, I know, for most of us. How do we practically take a vision statement that I think still kind of sounds cool and looks good on our website and actually live it out? And over the past couple of years, if you've been here, you've heard me and others say that this walking with others as we walk with Christ is as easy as 1, 2, 3. Kind of, I can't even do that. 3. 1 daily connection with Christ, at least. Okay, 1 daily connection with Christ. Did Christ do this with his Father? I mean, we don't have record of him every day getting together with his Father, but we do have record of him going away. Now, would you argue with me, or would you agree, there we go, would you agree with me that Jesus had the best connection any human could have had with the Heavenly Father? Couldn't he at any time just go back into his mental temple and hang out with the Father? Yeah, anytime. And yet we still see him going away to do this. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, before daybreak, the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 says this, one day soon afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. Here's a question. If Jesus' connection with the Father was better than any other humans, why did he have to go away? How about this? Because he had distractions too. Because Peter snored, all right? Jesus couldn't concentrate. Jesus had distractions too, so for him to go away and have purposeful, intentional connection with the Father was needed. Now, what does that look like for you? Do you have to go away on a hill by yourself to have the same connection with the Father? No. A couple years ago, we looked at 9 different ways people connect with the Father. The book of Sacred Pathways, there's naturalists who connect with God in nature. There's sensates who love God through their senses. There's traditionalists loving God through ritual and symbol. Aesthetics, loving God in solitude and simplicity. Activists who love God in confrontation. For those that were here, remember that series? It was a while ago. Caregivers, enthusiasts, contemplatives, intellectuals. The way you daily connect with Christ may not be the same as the person sitting next to you. And that's okay. In fact, the way you daily connect with Christ may not be the same for you every single day. But we really believe that this part of walking with Christ, it has to be an intentional daily connection. This past year, as a church, we made it easy. We did the Bible in a year. A lot of us did that. We had a daily box that we needed to check that said we read it. What are you going to do this year, right? Some of us started the chronological Bible. Others have begun different methods of connecting with Christ. I told you a couple weeks ago, I bought a specific Bible that is only the Gospels. No chapter verses, no chapter markings, numbers, verses, any of that. It's just Jesus. So I'm planning on starting my day every day with Jesus, my polka dot chair, and a cup of coffee. Okay? That's how I'm going to do it. It may not be... You can't be in my polka dot chair, so it absolutely won't be the same for you unless you have a polka dot chair as well at your own house. But you see what I'm saying? It may not be the same for you as it is for me. What works for you? Walking with others as we walk with Christ. How do we do this? 1, 2, 3. 1, daily connection with Christ. 2, weekly connections with other believers. Two weekly connections with other believers. Jesus did this, right? We saw it in Mark chapter 3, verse 14, and he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach. Jesus, he connected with his apostles more than twice a week, didn't he? I mean, we figure he kind of lived and breathed and traveled and ate and slept and laughed and, you know, swam in the Jordan River and all that together more than two times a week. You don't have to gather this motley crew of 12 misfits to hang out with you all the time, okay? Twice. For the introverts, you're like, oh, phew, that's a push, but it's not every day. For the extroverts, you're like, that's not near enough. That's fine. But just find a couple of people you can do life with. What does that look like? May not look the same as the person sitting next to you, okay? We have some people in here who are part of traditional small groups who meet every week with the same group of people. They study scripture, they eat a meal together, they pray. We have others who are in daily text exchanges. It's the 5th of January, and I'm already missing the daily text exchange with Coach Mace and I. We have people who connect with their family, people who connect with their friends that are following Jesus. We have it digital, analog, in person, on the phone. This past week, two of the connections I had, I got to spend 45 minutes on the phone with Ken Bendixson this past week. And I tell you what, Ken, in front of everybody else, that was probably some of the best 45 minutes I had this past week. I thoroughly enjoyed it. All right, so close your ears for just a second. You know what? I initially, for those watching online, he said it's hard to speak to a Ben Dixon for less than 45. I initially texted him hoping for a one-word response, but he called me. And 45 minutes later, I kid you not, I loved that conversation on so many levels, okay? That counted as a connection for me. Now, I didn't get off the phone and been like, check, there's one more down. But that was one of my connections. And then later that same night, my wife and I went to some good friend's house and we played cards and ate a meal. That was a connection. Now, when you connect with these other believers during a week, does it always have to be opening a Bible or getting on your knees and praying or singing songs together? No. Ken and I, we talked about faith. But the couple that we went to that evening, we didn't talk about faith at all. But they were part of our lives, which is what we're going for when I say walking with others as we walk with Christ. You just have to be intentional. If Jesus needed other people around him to walk faith with, so do we. All right? So walking with others as we walk with Christ. How do we do this? One, daily connection with Christ. We're going to get there. You're going to get it on the last time, okay? Two, weekly connections with other believers, and three, monthly connections with sojourners. We say sojourners because that might be people who are far away from Christ, people who have once been near Christ but are wandering, people who want nothing to do with Christ, people we don't even know where their walk is with Christ. They're sojourning. Did Jesus hang out just with people who had said yes to him? No. In fact, he hung out with so many people that he started getting criticized and started getting nicknames. In Mark chapter 2, verse 16, we read this. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Now, I prefer the New Living Translation because it's a little bit more how we would talk today. But when the teachers of religious law who were the Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked the disciples, "Why does he eat with such scum?" Jesus heard this and he told them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." I love that. Jesus got called a glutton and a drunkard in Matthew 11:16. Most people who hang out with only church folk don't get called that. Amen. I guess it depends on which church. When Jesus went back up to the Father, after he had done his earthly ministry, after he had been arrested, crucified, resurrected back to life, showed up alive to his disciples multiple different times, when he went back up to the Father, remember the last thing he told his disciples? He leaned over and he whispered, hey guys, now that I'm going, y'all just stick around your holy huddle, okay? Just hang out with people who think like you, speak like you, act like you, believe like you, nobody else, okay? Got it? Good. Good luck. Know what he said, Tommy? Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go and be with people who do not share the same belief system with you. Go and live like Jesus around them so that they may see Jesus in you. And if they end up following Jesus, great. If not, you're living Jesus in and around them." How does that look for you, for me? It's going to be different than each of us. May not look the same for the person sitting next to you. It may be that you interact with three different sojourners each month. So if you do the quick math, that means you're going to interact with 36 different people who may or may not know Jesus this year. And again, the introverts are like, "Oh my goodness, 36. Oh, I'm good with two, James. Okay, let me set you free. Have it be one, right? Make a genuine friend. Have a genuine friend. Continue a genuine friendship with somebody who doesn't know Jesus, and just love them because you love them as a person. With no intention of, you know, your goal can't be, "I'm only your friend if you're going to follow Jesus." Your goal got to be, "I'm going to love them because Jesus loves them." Okay, case in point, one of my best friends, I've told you about him many times before. He is a devoutly atheist man, and he holds to that. This last Sunday, there was a small group of us men that served the homeless downtown, and my friend could not wait to fill his pickup. He's a personal trainer, so all of his clients brought coats and blankets, and he literally, a full-size bed of coats and blankets, and he could not wait to come downtown and hand those out to everybody. Now, my friend knows that when we serve food and when we give out necessities to our friends without homes, he knows that we're doing this in Jesus' name. He's fine with that. He just told me don't ever ask him to pray, which is fair. He wants to go and serve humanity for the common good of humanity. All right, so a potential month might look like for me one time when I'm serving with him downtown. One time when I'm going to work out with him. And then one time where my wife and his wife and the two of us get together. That's a potential, all right? And that may not happen every month. Please don't think I've got this pedestal where I've got it all figured out. I'm still figuring it out with you guys as we go. Whatever it is, your three times a month connection with sojourners must be a purposeful connection where you interact with somebody outside of your Christian bubble, outside of your holy huddle. And when we start interacting with others, oh, that's when the adventure starts. Alone, it is a journey. Adventures, they must be shared. Walking with others as we walk with Christ. How do we do this? It's as easy as one, two, three. There we go. Okay, good, good. Yeah, one, two, three. Hot dog, right? You got it. I love it. One daily connection with Christ. Two weekly connections with other believers, and three monthly connections with sojourners. I want to show you what this looks like, not in a sermon, okay? Because when somebody stands up front, they get to pick their best stories, right? They get to pick their best examples. I want to show you what it looks like for someone just in their everyday life. A lot of you know Ken Bendixson. I've already mentioned him. Last year, we walked a challenging year with him as his wife graduated to heaven. Cancer sucks, okay? Before she died, I had the opportunity to sit down with him and her, put a microphone in front of him and a video, and just talk about life. Talk about First Church. Talk about the 1-2-3s. We're going to drop in on the conversation, okay? If you ever wanted to be a fly in the wall in the Bendixson house, here's your opportunity. We're about 45 minutes into the conversation. It may not be clearly 1-2-3, and you'll hear me mention 1-2-3, but listen to how they lived out this 1-2-3 in their lives during a tremendously difficult year.
You know, at the beginning of the year, the Bible, reading through the Bible, I wanted kind of all the family to read, start reading the Bible. And so we bought everyone for Christmas one of those Bibles that everyone's using, and gave it to them. Cheryl says, well, they didn't throw it back at us, so I guess that's something. But, Carrie and Sari were fine, you know, we're doing it or whatnot. Tammy and Jillian, Tammy was a little resistant, but Jillian says, well, you know, it's only 4 pages a day or something. And so they have been doing it. I thought I needed to make it worth their while. So I said, we will pay $5 a day every month for however many days you get, get done. Mm-hmm. And so we have 4 people who are all doing that. Steve's doing it, but I'm not paying him.
Steve can pay himself.
And anyway, and then we have a couple who we offered, but they kind of haven't taken us up on it. But, you know, out of, anyway, it does or has done for us kind of what I had hoped, which was, you know, reading through the Bible. Maybe we have conversations about, you know, wow, can you believe they slaughtered all those people? Or, and certainly we've had a lot of those conversations with Steve. And that to me is probably been kind of one of the coolest things is just
finally with your family. It occurred to me, I think about in December, why aren't I discussing what I believe and what the Bible says with my family? You know, they always talk about you've got to first lay a foundation and, you know, make
build
a connection.
Bridges.
They're my family. They've been with me forever. It's now or never, you know, and especially with the health issues. I'm like, I want my family with me.
Yeah. Well, this makes it worth it. As a pastor, sometimes I wonder, do the things that we encourage, mm-hmm. is it worth it? This story makes the entire year worth it.
Now, I understand that my younger daughter told this to
you don't need to say that.
She may watch this.
To you and Dick Winters, and that you both wanted in on the deal.
That's awesome. This is worth more than $5 a day for a year.
You may want to cut that. It's at
we'll have the extended version and the extended version.
The director's cut. And okay.
That's good. So
this actually could tie into our vision.
Thank you.
profound. Deep and profound. So I tell you what we're doing. We'll make sure there's a link that we send out in the midweek where you can catch the back half of that. Ultimately, Ken and Cheryl talked about how as they were going through different cancer treatments, whether it was Ken before Cheryl or whether it was Cheryl, how they would just live in such a way that conversations would happen. They'd have a playlist that they would play music on their little portable speaker while they were playing cards at the hospital. And, you know, the hospital didn't want them to proselytize, but people would come and ask them questions. Oh, what church do you go to? Oh, hey, I recognize that song. And it's wonderful how you can see in the last 5 minutes of this or so how they just lived out that 1, 2, and 3. So it wasn't intended to be a prime the pump, and you have to watch it later, but it was prime the pump, and you watch it later. So if you're not on our midweek email list, or if you're not getting it because of technical hiccups, fill out a connection card, stick it in the box on your way out, and we'll try and make sure to get that to you. Ken is on a journey, right? Ken, his cancer has returned. I think we know that. He's in the process of going through chemo and stuff, and he's got to do that alone-ish. He's invited others into the adventure. All right, I know from talking to him on Thursday that his family is going to do the chronological Bible in a year, which to get your family to read through the Bible 2 years in a row, oh, what kind of incentives those may be. Ken's walking a journey and living an adventure. He's walking with others as he walks with Christ, which is what we are called to do. All right? Alone, it is a journey. Together, it becomes an adventure. Walking with others as we walk with Christ, that's going to stay on our front burner this year. Even as we have different series and different sermon studies, we're going to continue with that because we believe that's who God has called us to be. We believe that's what God has called us to do. It's just the part of what he says, hey, for the group that meets on the corner of Ash and Cortland, you guys walk with others as you walk with Christ. And I'm excited to see how God does that this year through us and through the people we interact with. Let me pray. God, thank you for this specific calling on this people here at First Church. We know that you have a big church, a big C church around the globe. And we know that you've called us to specific things, to loving you and loving others, and to going and making disciples, the great commandment and the great commission. But we also know that for each individual body of worshiping believers, you give them a specific task and a specific calling. And Lord, in this season of First Church's life, you have called us to walk with others as we walk with Christ. Thank you for both that individual side of that as well as that relational communal side. Lord, I pray you would help us do that well. I pray you'd give us courage to speak when to people maybe we wouldn't normally speak with, to engage when we wouldn't normally engage. I pray you'll give us discipline to spend that time with you alone, whatever that may look like. And Lord, I pray that as we go through, that you would grace us with little nudges of, look, it's happening. And may we be able to share those with the people around us. We love you. We thank you for what you've called us to be. And Lord, we give this entire, not just day, but this entire year to you, knowing that you have it already planned. We pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said,